Blog Talk Radio.
Heim og kvad i sång i dig, vakna dig och edelig dränge, de höjre nyckeln på havets grin, för de är sovet i för länge. Heim och kvad i sång i lund, vakna dig och edelig dränge, de höjre nyckeln den heim hund, för de är sovet i för länge. Nyckeln han tala till styringsman, vakna dig och edelig dränge, du styrer mitt skip på Kristi land, för de är sovet i för länge. Ik vill mig på Kristi land gå, vakna dig och edelig dränge, den vin ej jomfrua villig få, för de
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. My name is Golden Hawk, and I am fired up. And joining me tonight is the enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine. Hello? Janine?
Sorry, you were on mute. I put you on mute.
Okay.
No.
That was new.
I put it on mute while the phone was playing because I didn't want to make sounds. I was typing.
Right on.
Did you see what I dedicated the show to tonight? In the
chat room? In the chat room? No, wait, let me go. The show is for freedom, empathy, and the courage to feel and not hide, to love deeply. Right on.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Yeah, well, and for all sentient beings that have been on the planet since time immortal, fully feeling. I mean, like, Jesus, the elephants have never, they never left the empathic world, you know. And in all their wisdom, they so clearly remind me of the whales. You know, when the whales would swim up to the surface to allow the sailors to harpoon them. You know, the whalers to kill them.
To the
point of near extinction. It's like there's so much wisdom in these beings. And, you know, there are days when I'm just as compassionate per se, or at least try to be, as an elephant. But I'll tell you today, just, you know, I'm finding ignorance to be something very challenging for me. And dealing with people that are going, it's just photoshopped. It's just fun. For those who don't know what we're talking about, there was a thread that I was involved in, and then I shared it onto my own wall and Facebook, of an elephant balancing on a ball, and it was utilizing the quote, an Abraham Hicks quote about being balanced. And for me, I just thought it. I'm a big fan of utilizing images and words and bringing them together for inspiration and for impact. But you know, to talk about a human being balanced while looking at the image of an elephant balancing on a ball. I mean, for me, that's just ludicrous.
Are you kidding me? You know how I see it. Of course, anyone with an intellect would know that they meant it as a metaphor, but it was a poor choice of a metaphor because it's a very unnatural balance. So why would you want to use an unnatural thing to show what balance is? I mean, why not use something natural and beautiful like a person, you know, standing on something in their own, using their own body as their balance, something natural. This is a very, you know, from my point of view, someone didn't really think about their actions and what their choice was implying. And, you know, it's not like, gee, Goldie and Janine, it was a metaphor. Of course we knew that, but it was a poor choice, right. Especially because your impatience, it's so funny because I feel the same way that, you know, when is it time to be more conscious of what we choose to say, what we choose to act on, what we choose. I mean, I'm an image person too, and I would really look at an image and feel, you know, does that represent what I'm talking about? And I would imagine, because it's so unnatural, that it would really be obvious that that's not a choice to show balance. And so, you know, that's all I think that it was.
Yeah, but you just said, you know, a universe full, because, see, I guess the difference between me and everyone that thinks it's okay that to use this image of balance, and which I didn't have the words until you just came up with it, which is, see, the frequency I'm coming from is the organic timeline. Well, when I show balance, I show rocks. Or, you know, or trees that have, you know, fallen down, right. and they're holding each other up. It's a very natural. Somebody's calling me. I don't know who it is. It's not you, Janine. You remember, we were supposed to be on the same phone line today. Anyways,
we're good.
We're good. So you're absolutely right. The key about this is I'm not supportive of balance from the artificial standpoint. I mean, because if that's the case, you know, well, then I guess pharmaceuticals are healthy. You know, they bring balance and health to your life. You know, come on.
You know, when you know something registers in your gut, and the thing is that the dear, beautiful elephant who, you know, has shown such love for their fellow elephants, and, you know, for just to immediately look at that and know that that is just, it just doesn't, it was a really poor choice for implying balance. And, you know, and okay, people make poor choices, but you know what? Maybe you, which is great, and then I joined in to bring attention to being more aware of what we choose, what we say, what we, you know, imply. You know, ask someone else, do you, before you post that, if you're, you know, on the Abraham Hicks thing, do you think this is a good image for balance? A couple other people probably go, no, not really, if they're telling the truth. You know, so, you know, because I don't think just, you know, if I posted that, which I wouldn't, because it just shows an unnatural thing, and I have such a love for animals, and I would just be like, ugh. But, you know, you would hope that someone that told you the truth would go, you know, that's not the best image to pick. And you go, oh, okay. And you get it. So, you know, maybe they didn't ask someone else's opinion, and, you know, and maybe some people yes people to death, and that's not very helpful, because I would have said no. That's not a good choice.
You know, and you did say no. And, you know, the truth is, listen, everybody's got the right to be inspired by that photo. And I love it. You know, like Jimmy Ray Osborne, who's been on my friends list for a while, just wrote inspiring with an exclamation point, and I'm cool with that. You know what, though? But by choice, don't really resonate with you, don't have any need to resonate with you. I was looking to clean house on my Facebook friends anyways, because I'm just looking to be in resonance. And, you know, I remember when I said that to you the other day about, you know, I'm just looking to, I am very happy to swim in a small pond with a small group of fish.
Well, in this particular time,
because I realize that, you know, listen, there are times when it's appropriate to be with multiple layers of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but you know what? I'm not even.
Well, you know what? You can't fake
not
awareness.
Not today.
No.
Well, you can't fake awareness.
No.
You're right.
And so, you know, awareness is awareness. And, you know, it's funny. I was picking up that vibe today, too. Like, when is enough enough? And when do people stop? You know, and I don't know. It's just, and maybe that's what I was thinking about this, and I might as well, like, I was going to bring it up later, but, and this is just, like, kind of a thought thing that I was having fun with, because I like to, you know, think about certain things, and I was going, okay, so if we're in a paradigm that has polarity, so that's, a, you know, one or the other is a polarity, like, you know, the opposite of the other, right? Okay, so in that polarity, and it's a paradigm that you actually exist in, so that's important to remember, that in your paradigm, and the your is like general or generic, that you have, you can have opinions in polarity, because that's what you do. Now, it's, I think it's an interesting thing to start consider the polarity or the paradigm outside of the polarity, and then go, well, you know, so that's that center point, and that's probably the place where you don't have opinions, you just know. And that's not
right.
That's not the paradigm of polarity. And I, you know, it's funny because,
right.
And so I was just thinking.
I'm very polarized right now. I am.
No,
and I know no, I am.
No, no.
I am.
But the thing about awareness, though, is you can't fake awareness. And so if you're in, and I'm not even seeing that, you know, the elephant. I see, to me, I have to tell you, gut check, the picture is offensive. You know, because it's an unnatural thing to do for to an elephant. It's just, it's so, I don't
well,
really.
See, you know what's so funny? You know what the irony of all this is?
What?
The people that don't see this as unnatural or offensive.
Right. Because
you know,
I don't get amused by these things.
I'm not amused by that in any way.
By, you know, tricks that humans teach animals, you know? I don't.
Oh, and I've never, my entire life,
no,
I have never been, ever,
no,
ever,
I,
the
I,
dolphins
I,
jumping up. I used to say that.
No,
know,
I don't I, like I, captivity, and I, no,
captivity,
I know.
Captivity, exactly. Captivity
right.
is prison, period. You know, and then
no.
to be made to have to humiliate yourself, in my humble opinion, I mean, that's just so wrong on so many levels. But the truth of the matter is, the people that don't see this are clearly also the people that live in their own prisons. You know, it because, see, the irony, as I've always said, is, you know, you see the world as you are in the world, you know, meaning if they don't see that there's anything wrong with the elephant doing, you know, stupid tricks on a ball as
right.
humiliating.
Well, who's good?
My guess
Art?
Is, well, they probably don't see themselves as being humiliated in their jobs, you know, in what they think they're doing
right.
for whatever it is that they do, you know, like there's probably this grandiose feeling in their own beingness that you know, they have an important job, and, you know, we're in the grander scheme of life, you know, no, it's probably not that important. It's probably just feeding a hamster wheel, you know, of some, you know, vampirical experience. You know?
See, I just think that, you know, why this is, like, to me, important, because it gives, you know, one of my favorite things, the small is important. Okay, so the fractal. This is fractals. Fractals are everywhere, you know. So you're bringing awareness to people. What do you think about this image? It's very telling about, you know, gut check on it, you know. And yeah, I think it's just to stimulate the conversation, you know, because the truth is it's not natural. So why do we need unnatural things being done to animals for our amusement? I mean, could it get any more ridiculous? You know, so it's just a good, to me, I don't want to be afraid of conversation. I don't want to be afraid of, like, hey, yeah, let's go there. I'll talk about it. But it's like, so, because why not? You know, and I will say that actually fits with what I wrote was, don't be afraid to feel everything. Feel it, because whatever you're suppressing inside of you that you're afraid to feel, let it come up, because you allow yourself to feel this conversation. You know, something else
right.
really might rise
right.
up. Something else might rise up, which is really good, because that's the whole idea of, you know, to be empathic, you're out there on the limb because you're willing to feel. I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, feeling is, like, bold, and it's courageous, and it's
well, it's
incredible.
The unknown. It's the mystery. I mean,
because,
you know, there is some truth. And, you know,
I'm
kind of getting my
it.
Bearings again. Yeah,
I
no,
like
you
it.
Always like it. I like that you like, because it's passionate. There was a woman that wrote a thing on Facebook today that said, don't make me mad, you won't like who I am, or something to that effect. And I so wanted to write, no, get pissed. I like watching people pissed, because it's not that I want people pissed, but I think there's something very beautiful, especially in women, who allow themselves to kind of let go of you know, the whole rules thing, and, you know, the limitation of, you know, the proper way to be is we don't raise our voice.
No, but I'll tell you what
you
that
know.
Was. That was a projection. That was her, you know what I mean? Like, that was projected, that was her own way of speaking to herself about, don't let me get mad because it's...
I don't like what I see.
And it's also overwhelming, and it scares me, and it's overpowering, and I'm not comfortable with it, and oh my God, you know, and it's like, hey, go for it. You know, swim with the great white sharks and see, you know, who cares? You know what I mean?
Name's
like,
Cindy.
I hear the theme of Jaws coming up. I always like do that. I go, with someone and I start with something, I go, did you just hear that? The theme of Jaws? And I'm going, but who's the great white here? It's so much fun. They're like, what?
You know, that's right on, though. I mean, we really are. You know, the conditioning has us afraid of our own power, and, you know, being pissed is something that,
or
you know,
passionate.
Or passionate, because I, you know, it's so funny. There's not much that triggers me lately. There really isn't. Animals. For today, the animals triggered me. You know, that elephant just...
But
it's
funny,
because I was leaving... Well, no, I have to state, though, I was leaving sarcastic remarks on a few people. There's definitely... And I am not usually a sarcastic person. Yes, no,
wait,
I'm not.
Wait, guess what's walking on my desk? An ant.
Oh, Blackie?
An ant.
A what?
An ant.
Oh, an ant. Oh, okay, I thought it was Blackie. A black ant.
Yeah. No,
oh, this
ant
is from last week. Oh. Yeah.
Don't you remember?
It's looking for the partner. Yeah, are you my partner? Are you my mommy?
It's coming towards me.
Remember the book by Dr. Seuss, when the little duck or whatever, are you my mother? Are you my mother? He's asking the crane, are you my mother?
it's like that sweet little book you gave me.
Stella Luna.
Oh, my God. So great.
It's a great book. Yeah, it's a great book. It's a great book.
Yeah,
so,
what?
Well, yeah, you know, we're in. You know, these are the best of times. These are the worst of times. You know, I'm as human as the next person. There was another person who wrote, "I believe in good people," and I'm like, I still wanted to write. I am a bad person, and I believe in me. I didn't write that.
Actually, I believe in good people. What does that mean? Is that disapproving of something?
Well, I wrote good people, bad people. We're all human. I didn't know what's so good.
You know when you
the polarity is definitely triggering me today, though. That it is. It's the polarity.
No, you know, I just like when you know there's something good about when there's been a conversation stimulated by an image. I think that's fascinating. You know, just because it's obviously, for lack of a better word, hot topic, hot kitchen. You know, it's like, hey.
Yeah, no, definitely,
hey, you know,
definitely.
And that's a great thing to stir that up. You know, this is good.
Yeah,
I like it.
I agree.
Like
I purposely brought it to my wall because I would have never posted. Because there was some people, you know, on the original wall that this got posted on. You know, because the woman who originally posted was like, you know, that wasn't my intent. And I get that it wasn't her intent. But I looked for the quote, "Hell is paved with good intentions." You know?
I found it
as a quote from like 11th century, and I was like, clearly this is a historic issue.
But I also think that, like I said, the willingness to go into conversation about something, I think, is, you know, really healthy and really good. And you know, why
but
not?
I'm denying everybody the ability to talk because every time they say they're inspired by it, I'm unfriending them. So
I am.
You know, and if they're neutral, they can stay. And you know, I don't know.
Oh, you're so.
So
funny.
I don't. Well, I don't know how much I'm into conversation. I'm just fired up today. You know, I am.
I can tell you're vacuuming your face.
I am. But I said that I was going to do that recently. That I don't know. I used to want all these people. You know, more and more and more, life is showing me more and more and more. The smaller the crowd, the better managed from an energy point of view. From an energy point of view. Because, you know, there was actually a point at one point today where I just kind of had in my sensory perception that there will be an end to Facebook for me.
Oh,
I just,
and it's right now.
Yeah, well, you know, it could be.
Live as we speak, it's over.
I'm leaving. No, well, it just, because I'll be honest with you, I'm starting to see it.
Hey, guess what? Why
to,
not? Why shouldn't that be an option? Of course.
Well, no, of course it's an option. It's always an option. No,
right, right.
But I'll be honest with you, this is what clarity does. Clarity is starting to show me that Facebook is very hive mentality. There's hive mind going on. Energetically, I got that hit today. And that's when I was like, oh, isn't that interesting? You know, and I just kind of ran it through my own being that things inherently that are hive mentality with me don't last.
Right.
I just, you know, whether I go play on, you know, some other kind of networking walls or whatever, just don't go on the, I don't know, you know. But I just knew inherently, I was like, this is a limited time, limited edition of Golden Hawk on Facebook, just because I know who I am. And and truth is it today? No, because I'm still attracted to this.
Yeah.
But,
well,
that, you know, I just sense that that's not an eternal thing. That will end.
Of course not. And, you know, I mean, like very, like books that I loved or, you know, there were times where I decided, I gave them away. I burned them. I, you know, ripped them up. I buried them. It was like, it's very freeing. It's like, why not? You know, and the cool thing is it's like, I don't know for how long, maybe forever, maybe not, maybe a day, maybe an hour. But it's the organic life. It's not, you know, there's nothing in, frozen. And, you know, that's the beautiful thing about flexibility and malleability and following something organic. It doesn't have to be, you know. And so I agree. I think that, you know, in a moment's feeling, or you just go, okay, that's enough. And it's like, you know, think that that's really healthy. I do.
I've done it with several teachers and, I've done it with, you know, I tend to do it more. Well, you know, it's actually true. I've even done it with school. I mean, because I remember, you know, once I got my associate's degree, which is, I get it, it's a 2-year degree. It's really no big thing. But I immediately knew, you know, my father was like, are you going to go on? No.
Right.
You know, and I remember when he asked me the same thing when I was bat mitzvahed when I was 13. Are you going to continue your Jewish studies? No. You know, and on the same note, you know, I turned 30 after 12 years of drug use. You know, are you going to continue? No. You know, it's just, I don't know, it's the experience. You get it. You get what you got, what you need from it, and then you move on. I mean, that's really to something, because in all honesty, it is absolutely, like you were saying, it is more challenging to feel the pain of the polarity, the pains that exist within this polarized experience that we live in. That is more challenging. However, you know, another truth that stands side by side with how that it's more challenging, it also clearly opens up more dimensions by feeling. And within those dimensions, the magic is just, you know, you can't tally this up in a number. It can't be organized like that. It is simply the art of feeling. It is dramatically deeper in living than to choose not to feel. So yes, there is pain involved in the feelings, but it almost feels like, and I get it, because I think the pain is in the top layer, because we're in such a unique experience. It's the third dimension. You know, we've had these beings, you know, basically running the show, but, you know, behind the scenes for, like, let's just say approximately between 6 to 12,000 years. They've been, and they've been running it probably longer than that, but it's been an intense game of, you know, they're playing the card of, we are, you know, we are the unawakened ones, they're the awakened ones, and they've kind of herded us into a space where, you know, shit, more than half the population on the planet is starving to death. Clearly, you know, they're running it, yes, and we're waking up to this. We're waking up to this truth, and so the first layer we're going to wake up to is going to be a very challenging layer of pain. That is the first layer. You know, but then we can go deeper than that, because in the opening up of that layer, well, it just inherently will take you deeper. And then there's a layer beyond the depth of the pain that goes, you know, we're not even limited to just this dimension. You know, we're limited to an unlimited scope of dimensions and experiences that, you know, I can't even really comment on, because I'm just becoming aware of. I've always had empathic abilities, but, I admit it. That's the reason why I did my drugs. I did my drugs to turn that ability off. Nope, don't want to feel that. And kicked my own ass and didn't feel it. But today, in the year 2012, and with all is happening, it's like, is it challenging? Yes, it is challenging. And my reaction, as well as my response, sometimes it's a response, sometimes it's a reaction, reflects that challenge. But I am still very clear. I mean, I can't be any clearer than to know that in 2012, it is most beneficial to feel that pain, because the pain is from, I would say the pain, if I had to symbolically share it, is an inch thick.
Oh, wow.
And that was Freudian. But 12 inches down is something that is just, I'm not even, I might be aware of it from a subconscious point of view, but I'm not aware of it on a conscious point of view, and I want to be aware of it. What is the universe, cosmos, you know, divine way of being? What is opening up to me once I get past that inch of pain? What's available to me? Because, you know, I listen to people who have walked through their pain, and clearly there is something available that inevitably trumps the pain, where the pain just becomes part of my experience without hurting so much. There's something alchemical that happens, and, you know, I'm here to experience it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm going to... As we're talking, I got the ant on a piece of paper, and I'm putting it outside for freedom, because, you know, ants shouldn't live on a desk.
That's what our show is about. Well, and I do want to talk about those things we wrote down, too, because...
Sure.
You know,
let me just let the ant go.
Yeah, that's cool. I was going to say, on your way back, grab that little note.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's been quite a week. No, go ahead. I was going to start sharing.
For what I wrote down?
Either what you wrote down or what you want to share on the week or whatever.
Oh, okay. Well, this is so funny that there was an ant on the desk, and it just looked like it was looking for somewhere, and I was like, yeah, because you're not supposed to be on my desk, and so I just put the ant outside.
Well, did you leave him with a couple of crackers?
No, just a little worm. A little inchworm.
It's an ant's life. Yes, but now, God bless the... We must have empathy for the worm.
Okay. So the thing is, I was thinking about that polarity thing, and I think that, you know, a long time ago, I think when you had brought up a conversation, and this was quite a while ago, I think Susan was even on the phone, but it was about the ability to really be honest with yourself. And I always think that, you know, that's a great, it's a great awareness to sort of ask yourself or be aware of yourself to to actually even consider what that is, to be honest with yourself, because, you know, that's a deep, 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 deep well, because, you, like you said, you can break through to these places where you think you're being honest with yourself, and then, you know, you just open up these vast feelings and, you know, opinions which you think are honest, you think you're being honest, and then you move into these, I guess, deeper knowings, and that kind of stuff fascinates me. And I guess that's that ability to sort of to check in with yourself and be truthful and ask the questions. Mm. And so,
right.
What's, you know, and that to me is the courage to feel and to not edit it and to not, you know, repress it. And if you are, you know, just, and that's the hot kitchen. And so that's, you know, that's what I find that fascinating and fun. And I know it is painful, but on the other side of that is amazing. And so we talk about that a lot, you know, because that's the encouragement. It's like, you know, to get to that place is to truthfully feel it. And so that's why the elephant thing really, I felt it right away, like, I don't like this. But the question alone is asking people, what feel it? What do you feel? You know, and I think it's a great invitation. And I think that this timeline, because notice what I noticed about the picture, it was unnatural. And I don't think you can demonstrate balance through an unnatural image, okay? That's just, and so how do I know that? It just makes sense to me because we're on a natural organic timeline. And so I think it's an invitation to go to the natural and organic. And that means breaking paradigm of time constraints, what you're supposed to do, you know, old schedules, you know, our viewpoints of ourselves and our identities of who we thought we were. But these are like, you know, they're huge subjects, but I like at least stirring it up, you know? I mean, for myself. I mean, right.
Yeah.
So here's the notes from why this is so cool, because the first note that I have when you said, Jay, write this down,
okay,
was that it was from last Monday, but then it went into our conversations during the week with Penny Pierce's comment about the subconscious is kind of up now, and you said on the phone, and I wrote it down, that because the subconscious is up, that the frequency is bringing everything up for us, and the people we're meeting are actually like our teachers, and it's perfect. It's our souls in charge here. I mean, if we really think about it, the soul is handling it. And so,
no, right on, right.
And you kind of, and you were in a place where you were really feeling something until you realized that the soul was handling it, and all of that went. I mean, I could feel it for you. It was like,
yeah.
Because I said to you, what is it that this is activating that you want to get inside you? Because this isn't necessarily about that person. This is more about you. And then you realized that it was like the soul was handling it all, and there was no regret. There was no I did it wrong. There was no,
exactly.
You know, do you remember that?
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Okay.
It was a huge breakthrough. Yeah, it was a huge breakthrough.
So then I guess the whole week you could feel this, the soul's handling it. It's like, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay. You know,
yeah, and then
like,
I got triggered. Then I got triggered half an hour before we come on the air.
Thanks to the, well, that's, you know, but that's cool. I like that. See, I, you know. I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, because, and I'll tell you, you know, because and I appreciate it, because someone said to me today, one of the posts I wrote today was, I'll bring it up, because I'm a little fired up, and now my memory is a little kookadilly.
Yeah.
I basically wrote, great morning, everyone. Life is beautifully unfolding all around us. Just take a peek, and you'll feel what I'm talking about. And, you know, somebody had commented to me, love, light, and rainbows. I wish you an amazing day. And, you know, this is a woman I actually swam with the dolphins with. You know, I met her in person, and she's
right.
from another country. And I really like her. And, you know, and I was like, you know, thanks, Annette. And I was like, I wish for you courage and strength. Because it's like, I think we should have a balance. Like, you know, because personally, you know, it's so funny. I'm not really looking for the life of love, light, and rainbows. Yet, on some level, that's not true. I mean, I'm certainly, you know, love, light, and rainbows don't have elephants doing, you know, dances on balls. You
know,
love, light, and rainbows is every sentient being is free, is sovereign, you know, is contributing how they, you know, is organic. That's the, because I guess, you know, I have really, you know, I think the best way to put it, and I feel the best way to put this is, what you just said is absolute truth, that earlier in the week, I became aware that I was not aware of my soul being involved in everything. That awareness was with me the day we had the breakthrough. But that awareness has not been anchored in my cells yet because...
Right, I get that.
Because the way I'm behaving right now and feeling is clearly, it's not from the neutral point of view, which I believe the soul is very neutral about some of the most horrific of experiences in the polarized dimensions. But, you know, and again, I also get that the pain itself, the frustration, the aggravation, all of that plays a part in my neutralizing. You know, the key is accept it when it shows up. I mean, and it's weird because I've been fired up today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I've been feeling a lot today? Manic and depressive, you know, really high highs. And, you know, the elephant brought me to a really low, you know, I just felt, you know, angry and, you know, sad for the elephant. Because there's also, it's funny how today there was a lot of postings about these elephants that, I guess, gathered for an elephant whisperer and, you know, how sentient they were. And, you know, so it was like the polar opposite of, you know, the elephant on the ball. And, you know, it's just, I'm just feeling it all.
That's the thing, though. Like, the invitation to feel is the invitation to discover. And what I find people, you know, that's where the encouragement comes from, to allow yourself to feel. And if you do, there is no way it can be all rainbows and whatever else that was. But I can't remember the rest of it. Rainbows and what?
Love, light, and rainbows.
Right. Because, you know, okay, so, but the thing is, you know, this is like grown-up time, you know. We're, you know, it's an invitation, that's all I can say, to feel. And, you go through it, and it's impossible to be all rainbows. It just is. It's not realistic to me. It just isn't.
Right. Well, again, it's unnatural. It's unnatural.
Right.
And,
right.
And it's, I mean, and she wishes me that.
I do believe that the balance that, you know, that we don't agree with the image about is
right.
The balance is a great word, because the balance means that, you know, with feeling becomes discovery. But through before the discovery, you go through some discomfort, and you're in these territories of unfamiliarity, and yet your soul is taking you there, and it's like, you know, and you're willing to go. And I think that that's courageous, you know.
Yeah.
And you know,
it's what shows up. You got to deal with what shows up, because I see what denial looks like in many people's lives.
Well, I also see what spontaneity looks like, and spontaneity is not reading a radio show from, like, a program, you know? I mean, if you, you know, when we...
Or
you know,
your life in general. Forget just the radio
right,
show.
Right, well, the fractal
life.
Thing, you know, fractal. Yeah, so...
Yeah. We're not crazy, we're fractals.
No, I mean...
That was good.
I've got, you know, it's funny because I was feeling kind of tired, and then I saw the elephant picture, and then I made the comment, and then I started feeling this momentum, and then I start talking, and then I realized, oh, you're not as tired as you thought, you know, and maybe this was some almost a premonitionary kind of like something was going on. I wasn't sure what, and, you know, here it is, and I don't feel tired now, and I'm feeling tapped into like this discussion, and, you know, I like it. I mean, it's like, this is good, you know, It's
certainly
is.
Worth discussing. I mean, it's definitely. I mean, and see, I don't mind discussing it.
But even you, I like discussing you and what, because you're like a guidepost. You know, you know, I love discussing your process with on the radio because it's your process, but it's also everybody's process. It's all of our processes. You know, it's like, you know, and it's spontaneous, and that's what I love about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's
even though I believe many people would disagree that my process is everybody. I understand where you're coming from, but I just don't think other people see that.
Well, that's another topic. And
and you know, it's a process. It's mine, definitely. And it's just a process. It's one way to get there. I'm telling you, it's like there's something really.
I don't know. I think
really...
if we're breathing and standing on the planet, it's pretty much. I mean, it may not be the exact process, but there is no way being here now that if you're letting what needs to come up and learn from it and discover. I would say that in a spontaneous place and letting go of the rigidity, that is, you know, that in itself is everybody's process. I mean. I think, you know, and
yeah, no, I hear you. I don't, you know, I guess something inside me today, for the love of, you know, God, Jesus, just for the love of something, for the love of the elephants, I just feel argumentative tonight.
Right.
Even with you, Janine. I mean, I'm telling you, it's sincerely I'm argumentative. I mean, I had an argument with Scott before I got on the air. There's something.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something in me. And see, and this is partially, you know, this is interesting. As I become aware of, you know, just the mentality of hive mentality, and it seems as I become aware of more energy, you know, I'm starting to look at my own interaction with group experiences differently. Mm-hmm. Differently. I mean, it's just because I really do feel argumentative tonight.
Mm.
And not just tonight, all day. Yeah. And I know the energies coming in are pummeling us right now, everybody. And
right.
I do understand that this is, you know, because what you're saying, you absolutely make sense. You've always made sense, and you're love, and you're my best friend, and all that good stuff. You know, let's put all that aside, and let's just have a talk show, like I know you want to do. Where, okay, I gotta be honest. So what's going on with Goldie? And it's like, okay, well, there's clearly energy pummeling us, and solar flares, CMEs. We're in the middle of that between the 10th and the 17th, right? Today's the 14th. Which is what, you know, a channeler basically said, Adamus from Crimson Circle said that there was going to be some kind
yeah.
of energy. He said it wouldn't be solar, but that was really going to heat things up. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, you know, it's like, again, you know, whether we have a radio show or not, whether we're sitting around with our family or we live alone, I like, it's important. It's like, okay, let's deal with who we are, you know, in the moment, because... You know, I feel argumentative now, and I know that our relationship, see, it's a beautiful thing. Our relationship is strong enough no matter what. You know, you're not going to be like, oh, screw this. I'm not doing the show. Goldie's arguing. You know,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, you have enough presence in your own, in what you share, that it really doesn't matter whether I agree with you or not. I mean,
right.
and we've never even based a show that we have to band together. You know, have you ever heard the couple that goes, listen, you back me no matter what? I see it all the time on reality TV with married
yeah.
couples
yeah.
where the wives will be fighting and they'll go to the husband, why didn't you back me? It's like, well, hell, if you can't stand on your own two feet with something that you believe in, you know, perhaps you should reevaluate what you believe in. Because this isn't about power in numbers. This is, you know, our truth, speaking it. I am speaking it. I'm I'm fired up about the energy coming in. I am conscious about that. I have moments of lucidity from a deep level where I really do understand my soul is guiding me in every step that I take. I mean, every single step. Because before I started posting stuff on this elephant thread, you know, I thought to myself, do I want to hit send? I know this is going to be friction. I know it's going to be, you know, it's going to pump people up. I know when I put energy into something, it's just, you know, it can pump people up. And there was somebody on the first thread going, you know, why don't we all just lighten up and calm down? And, you know, I was like, don't you tell me to calm down. I will say whatever I want to say, you know, because I didn't want to get calmed down. If I wanted to be calmed down, I would have never commented in the first place. It was like, you know, I guess like what you were saying earlier, as I, you know, maybe I'm on a, I'm on a time delay of Janine's shares. You were just saying it's really good to be talking about it. It's like, no, damn it, I want to argue with you. And then I come around and go, oh, no, but it's really a good idea to be talking about it. See, because I'm doing soul's work, and the truth is I'm not even aware of it, which I believe, and this is the truth. I believe everybody's doing soul's work, mm-hmm. and that would have to include the elephant trainers that are abusing the elephants. They're also doing soul's work. And the elephants who show up for that abuse are also doing soul's work. You know, because the soul will always bring me back to there is indeed polarity here. Stop trying to understand it. The human mind is not meant to understand the polarity. The human heart and the human soul are, but not the mind. The mind loves the victim and victimizer. Loves it. Lives off of it. Thrives on it. So, you know, if I react, which is usually, you know, from an intense energy, like I was today, I'm telling you, I was cruising Facebook, just being a bitch and sparking things. And so, you know, hey, what comes around goes around, and it doesn't take long. And, you know, I'm kind of here, you know, I'm kind of in my own deflation right now going, all right, well, you know, are you done with that, Goldie? It's like, yeah, I think I'd like to be. I think I just, but, it, you know, it's got to run out of me authentically. It's got to be, you know, that the gas just runs out, because that is part of allowing the pain to be the teacher and the pain to do the alchemy, is that you can't control it. It can't be controlled that, you know, I'm going to command with all my will that I be at peace. You know, that's just simply not, that's a mind control. You're just mind fucking your own self.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, we know when we have crying fits and you're crying, and when you're just done crying, when you're, you know, if you have a good long cry, you cry and you cry and you cry, and then and you just stop. You know, the mm-hmm. energy is no longer there to cry. And, you know, you kind of, you know, most of the time, you know, we're congested, our eyes are shut, you know. But really, if it's, you know, if we sleep on it, the next day you feel better. You feel better. So, you know, I really am a component for, you know, live and let live. The problem is when I'm in my ego, which, you know, when I was just defriending everybody, I didn't leave much room for people to just live and let live. Even though, again, you know, I look at it and go, it's Facebook. Because truly, if anybody, you want to defriend me because of how I've behaved today, okay. I'm willing to, you know, kind of accept my Facebook fate that, you know, some people are. Because I guess, you know, ultimately, unless I really know you and we're contributing, you know, deeply into each other's lives, it's just a hive. It really is. It's just, it's not making that much of a difference in my life if certain people aren't on my Facebook. I mean, it's just not. I'll be honest. It's not making a difference in my life if anybody that I know isn't on my Facebook, including me. Like, it's just, there's just this awareness of that, you know, what's important, what's not, and, you know, I'm just sharing my journey. I'm just sharing my journey, you know, humbly. And I can tell you, though, that one thing that I do know is when I go through these kind of fits, I tend to have more compassion after I'm done with it for others that have gone through fits. Because
right.
we see people going through fits everywhere. I mean, that was another post that I posted today about the losing the mind, you know, where, you know, the whole planet, the human race is going through a nervous breakdown right now, simultaneously. Isn't that, you know, talk about fascinating, you know? Hey, and I have not excluded myself from that. I'm going through a nervous breakdown. God knows. I mean, I have my good days. Even though, I'll tell you, when you really genuinely accept the present moment, like I have a grasp on accepting the more challenging emotions and
mm-hmm.
circumstances. I'm telling you, between Holosync and just who I am, I admit it, on some level, I almost look for, you know, the challenges. Mm-hmm. I really do. And so, and when you process through the challenges, I can tell you, as you know, May 14th, 2012, there is nothing lasts longer than a couple of hours, you know, maybe a 24-hour period. I mean, nothing really just seems to have any kind of hold on me, because it just doesn't take long for me to go, okay, listen, it's just, I've run out of energy to put into this. I've run out of my focus of attention, because I guess also at every turn, what I keep telling myself is focus on the organic and let
mm-hmm.
go of the artificial. Because, you know, everything that I think is kind of bringing us pain on some level is falling into the artificial. Just like, you know, it was artificial to see that elephant on the thing. Well, but that whole experience for the elephant, you know, for time immortal was artificial. You know, it's like, it almost seems, I don't know. See, and then I keep hearing my mind going, stop trying to figure it out.
Right,
like,
right,
okay.
Right.
Well, yes, I'm analyzing something that just can't be analyzed. It can only be, you know, I can only tell you, the more we experience going through the fire and letting it burn off whatever the soul is telling us is, you know, is showing me and showing everybody, no longer necessary, the quicker the process, you know, comes to fruition, and I come back into the space of pretty much, you know, a neutral gratitude place. Most days, I feel tremendous gratitude for nature, for my friends, for faith. You know, I just feel gratitude about life. The days I don't are short and sweet.
Yeah.
You know, they really are. They're not. Because I really believe, I mean, Robert Young said it. He goes, the reason why they're playing commercials like the whole diabetes and the medication commercials that we see on TV so much more now than, let's say, 10 years ago. He goes, the reason why they're doing that is because literally the frequency we're in right now, we're not even capable of staying angry or capable of staying sick. It's got to be reminded to us so much more often in order for us to keep playing it. Because if we would just stop playing it, the frequency itself would bring us into balance. Like that's just organically where we're at right now. It you know, that it's taking a lot to keep us, I mean, taking a tremendous amount of effort to keep us out of balance, which makes sense why, you know, the whole, I watch the History Channel and stuff, and you know, everybody's talking now about, which is so interesting that nobody questions this, everybody's talking on these history shows about why we can or cannot be faked out by the aliens. You know, whether, I mean, I saw like a two-hour episode thing on, you know, regular TV. I don't know if it was the History Channel or a Science Channel, talking about if aliens did come, how they would fight us or why it can't be that they can fight it. You know, and I'm going, wasn't it just like last year that nobody believed in aliens? You know,
yeah.
You know, and we just skipped the whole idea that they exist right into why they can't fake us out. And I'm going, you know, from the clarity point of view, you start really seeing how hard the media is trying to just scare the daylights out of us. Truly, just. And when you start seeing the director's perspective, which is what I've been calling it lately, you know, you really do start chuckling, you know, because if something's working that hard, the reason why it's working that hard is because our natural state is becoming more and more, you can't fight it. You know, the organic state of our being is we won't have wars anymore, we won't hurt the elephants, we won't hurt each other, that's our organic state of being, because we'll be completely conscious of every living thing, and we'll live in the harmony of that consciousness, because there is a frequency that harmonizes everything. And this is not the oneness that we all become one mind. That it's just a harmony of living, you know, side by side with each other. Living in my joy won't affect you living in your joy. I mean, that's, you know, I believe that that's a very real space to be in, and we're at a place closer than we ever know to being at that. It's just that, you know, the powers that be are just doing their damnedest to keep us, you know, getting pissed off at ourselves and each other. Yes, Goldie's raising her hand. Oh, that would be me. That would be me. And, well, I mean, clearly I still have stuff to clear out of this, and I own it. And, you know, I just do think it's interesting, the timing of what is happening, you know, to me, to you, to all of us. And, you know, I'm kind of sharing away. You know,
yeah.
What's that? I'm sitting on the dock of the bay. Watching the clouds roll away.
Well, you know, I think what ends up showing up more than anything is that there is an organic timeline right now, and you know the resonance with it, we're not, and it's just something to consider. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, and you'll, I think that awareness in itself is, I mean, I think it's helpful for people if they're not really actually making that part of, you know, their everyday, that this, you know, that's something that I'm not sure ever how many people are aware of that, but to me that's important, that there is a organic timeline supporting, it's an invitation, you know, I go work with it, you know, I mean, that's how I
right
feel,
on.
But,
right
yeah.
On. Right on.
And, you know, go with it. And see, for me, it's also, when I noticed when I was doing therapy with people and they were wondering about, you know, why this happened to them and why their lives, you know, got all kind of uncomfortable and, you know, and then they had to go through all this stuff. But you know, here they are and they're looking at themselves differently now. And I go, well, you know, it's possible that where you were living, the ceilings were too low. And I'm like, and as I was listening to you, I was like, the ceilings are just getting higher. You know, it's like there's a, you know, it's just sort of you grew out of your stuff. You know, you grew out of your space. You grew out of your shell. You cracked open the nut. You know, and people always
You're
say
right
that
on.
To me. And they spend a long time, a lot of times, going over it and over again. And I go, hey, and they're like, they apologize. Oh, I know I'm going over this again. I go, you know what? Go over it and over it and over it. And someday you won't go over it because it'll be gone. So just
right.
go over it. It's like there's
right.
no, like,
right.
parental thing here. There's no, you know, oh, you're in trouble. You've mentioned it 7 times in the last 6 weeks. You know, I'm tired of this. No. Tell me until you can't, you don't want to talk about it anymore, or it's done, or, you know, or you find you're like, wow, it's been 6 months since I mentioned what I had to go through to get here, you know, and
right.
I'm like, this
right.
for what? Who cares? You know, I mean, I'm not taking notes, you know, and I never take notes. It's like, you know, it's
right.
like, just
right.
process it organically, and that seems to be the, for me, the most informative way, and you know, what comes out of my mouth, I'm going, oh, wow, you know, but, yeah, just like when the ceilings are too low, your soul goes, boom, let's like talk about it. Let's create a little stuff here, you know. And
yeah,
and,
yeah.
I you know, Goldie, I'm into that because I've gone that route myself so many times and been in so much pain and died so many times and, you know, and broke the ceiling. So, you know, grew like, you know, when Allison goes down the hole and she eats the pill and it makes her big and she's like, you know, she's growing. She
right,
has, and,
right,
right,
right. Yep,
so,
yep,
you know,
yep.
It's a good analogy. But, yeah, so... You know, I'm having fun.
Right on. No, right on. I can tell you, I already feel better. I mean, you know, it's I'm getting clarity. I personally love clarity, and it's an interesting thing because
yeah.
Clarity comes not from my ability to analyze. God knows, I come from a long history of analyzers.
Yeah.
Oh, my father's an engineer. You know, I used to believe that, you know, it was the end all to be all, that I could analyze the situation because I had memories and I could pull things up and compare them. And, you know, the truth is that it doesn't, that's not where my clarity comes from. My clarity comes from my ability to just feel it. But, you know, there's still a part of me that wants to talk about it. Sometimes if I'm an analyzing point of view, sometimes, you know, like... Sometimes my life will, I'll want to talk about it. Like Mother's Day was really interesting for me because, well, and I was going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about it. The dreams about the murder.
Oh, yeah.
So, let me fill you guys in just from a background. Saturday night, I watch a movie, a horror movie made, you know, it was a black and white film. It was a French film. And it was all about a murder. And the thing that was interesting was it was made in French, so I had to read the subtitles of the entire movie, which really made it almost seem like in a visual book, which I think made a difference to my being. So anyways, so I watched this horror movie about a murder and how the guy who's getting murdered by his wife and his mistress ended up, they faked the mistress and the husband faked the murder, and the husband, looking like a ghost, scared the wife, who believed she murdered him prior to that, scared her to death, and she died when she saw his body not being dead. And it was all planned by the husband and the mistress. So it was a really interesting movie. It kept taking right turns into a territory that I would scratch my head going, like, what? Before you knew that at the end, it's like, what the hell is going on with this movie? Like, I couldn't tell where it was going, but it was focusing a lot on the wife perspective, which was once she murdered him, she had to live with the idea of that she killed her husband, even though he was abusive, and that wasn't sitting so well with her. I mean, she just was not handling that well. So that night, Saturday night, I dreamed that I murdered somebody. And what was so interesting is I don't remember the details of who I murdered or how I murdered them. What I remember when I woke up was that I, too, was so focused on, am I going to get caught? Focused on, there was a negative act, and you can't change it. Once you murder somebody, they're dead, you know, of course. You know, in the movie they showed, though, she thought she murdered him, but he wasn't. But ultimately, if we murder somebody, they're dead. And what I was dealing with in my dream was, okay, you've got to accept this in order to move through it. That's just like that presence and that awareness just kept pounding in me. Accept it to move through it. Accept it to move through it. So, and when I woke up, you know, I went to call Janine, I went to call my friend Jules, and, you know, they're all moms, and they were all playing Mommy's Day, and, you know, it's like, for most of the day, I didn't have anybody to talk to, and it was really interesting, because I wanted to process this dream, and the truth is, did I go to the woods that day? I don't remember. No, I think it was raining, and, it was Sunday. No, now, Scott... Also, I don't talk to Scott about my processing pretty much at all. I mean, at all. But even Scott was, like, profoundly quiet this day. I mean, he wasn't talking. He had pruned his mother's trees all day the day before, and he was physically spent. I mean, he didn't even have the energy to speak. He was doing a lot of napping, and so I literally was like, okay, you know what? It was like the silence was strangling me, and I was like, I gotta go. I left Scott's, and I went to my father's house, and because I realized, you know, if we're going to be silent, I wanted to be with my cat, who I completely accept silence with. So I was, and I spent some time with Dakini, and it was interesting because I missed Scott, and I was like, you know what? I kind of just regrouped myself and realized that, see, again, this was, I'm realizing it more now than I did yesterday. The energy had me, you know, really, I was being fired up, and you know, not getting a hold of you or Jules, because I did talk to Dennis for a little while about the dream, and it helped, but it wasn't, you know, that kind of pressure. I couldn't get the conversation. I need the conversation to be a certain level of awareness, to be quite honest. You know, and I mean, truly, Janine, you're pretty much the only one in my life that you get me there. You know what I mean? You dialogue with me in a way that I appreciate my friends that talk to me, but there's just a level of awareness that I want to feel. Not necessarily think about, but to feel.
Mm, yeah.
And I know when I hit it because that there's this yearning inside me and this sense of being not fulfilled because it goes away. Where I just come into a homeostasis. I'm just isness again. I'm not wanting or desiring or anxious, or I'm just my isness again. And yesterday, I had a reading I was supposed to do that got canceled, which was fine because I didn't feel balanced. And it's so funny because I'm realizing now as I speak about it, what I was really unbalanced with was not speaking. But, you know, I'll go to the woods and I'll spend 6 hours, you know, by myself in quiet. And it's not a problem for me. But I have to kind of, you know, I can't always pick and choose when that's, you know, I choose to go into silence when I, you mm-hmm. know. And it would appear that yesterday my soul chose it for me because I'm telling you, it was so like, there was this sense of like, why is anybody answering their phones? Like, you know, Scott's basically in this silent mode, you know, not getting a hold of you even for just a minute to go, listen, I'm busy. You know what I'm saying? It was just one of those things that I was like, and that's where I think it was momentum from that got me sarcastic today. Because it's almost like then, you know, today I'm kind of going into it with still the firing up. But because I never found homeostasis yesterday, I kind of came at the world with, you know, come on, bring it on. You know, because I'm just ready to, you know, when you poke somebody in the shoulder. I was just poking Facebook in the shoulder today. And clearly Facebook poked back because, you know, the elephant just, you know, it sucker punched me. Pow! You know, it's like, you know, because ultimately I was feeling that pain of that elephant. I mean, it just, that, you know, I just felt so bad. And, you know, it sounds like it was, you know, it was, there was a cycle running in me and I wasn't, you know, I was pretty much unconscious to it. I knew it was, I was aware of it, but I didn't go to the woods. I just was doing things that, I don't know, believe it or not, it just feels like it's all releasing now.
Yeah.
You know, tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, it's so interesting because you said to me, because I as you're talking, I looked up Turner Classic Movies and I see that it's a movie called Diabolique, or in American it would be Diabolic, and it was done in 1955, and, you know, it's so, first of all, like, you're, you know, from my perspective, you have an artistic nature because you're activated by images and, you know, storylines and plots and, you know, that's like, it's kind of a language in its own that like brings up things. So it's very powerful though, which is really cool because if you track back, like to this moment now, and if you trace this back as you're doing, it's really, I mean, you know, now I'm following you, which is so interesting that I didn't you know, I was busy and all that, and maybe, you know, look at this is so cool, because now I'm looking at something from a perspective of now, which is like, first of all, Drew Barrymore was the one who influenced you to watch this.
That's exactly right. Okay.
Right.
Yes.
And Drew Barrymore to me is a really amazing person. She's faced a lot of her own personal fears, her family's history. She's gone through a lot. She's come out. She's a very strong person. She's enormously talented. And I really like her, too. And so for her to first be the person who inspired you to watch this, I find that in itself already telling of, like, you know, you got affected by this film, and I love that too, because I'm affected by storytelling and film and music and, you know, a visual or, you know, you know, this is cool because this brings up stuff, and you know, we're talking about it, and I love this. So here it is, this movie Diabolik or Diabolique, and it's in black and white, it's, you know, you're reading it, but it's so powerful about, you know, the storyline, and obviously, you know, this director would be proud, because 2012, a woman who's 47 watches this film, and, you know, we're talking about it on a radio show, because there was something there, and, you know.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Right, and so, you know, and yeah, and murder, you know, and deception and betrayal, and it's powerful because it's really all, it's all about the self. You know, it's the archetypes.
It's the archetypes.
Right, and all the actors are you, and all the actors are me, and it's the,
right,
you know, and
right,
we, yeah, so it's so rich to me, and you know, and you wanted to process it probably, and I totally get that, where, you know, homeostasis was such a great word that you just used, because I get it. It's like, but homeostasis had to wait. You know, it
exactly,
had to wait.
Exactly, huh? That's
right.
That artist that you're showing. Right,
yeah,
right,
so,
right,
so
huh?
But your process is very artistic, because it's like, ah, you know, and it's almost like, you know, start a painting and you're like, no, I don't like it. And, you know, and then you do like it. And then you walk back into the studio and you're like, ah, oh, I have no talent. What the hell? Why am I, you know, I hate this painting. And then you come back and you're like, oh, look, it's pretty, pretty good. And, wow, look what Brown did. And, oh, you know, and it's just like this, it's like this incredible, you know, multiple personality relationship of, like,
yeah,
you know,
right on,
going in and out of it, and, you know, and come, you know, and so that's what you did, and that's what that movie did, and I you know, I think that's amazing. I mean, just yesterday I was reading the back, now don't, you know, where I grabbed this book out of a stack of books, and it was the complete book of the Grimm's fairy tales. And, you know, and I just looked at the back of the book, and I never realized that Joseph Campbell had done a commentary in it, and he's long gone, but, you know, talk about someone who knew the power of a story. And,
right,
you know, and so he wrote something like, at the very end, he wrote that the folk tale is the primer of the image language of the soul. And I wrote that down, and I was like, wow, I love that. You know, but to me, movies, stories, you know, life, the image of an elephant standing on a ball that, you know, to me is like, you know, these are all languages of our soul and, you know, evoking what needs to come up and, you know, and push it and push the ceiling and blow it open. And, you know, I mean, this is like my world of learning through all these mediums, you know, whether it's film or music or like how you love, you know, some of these shows like The Medium. And I was thinking, you know, you said to me today, well, this woman who's the medium, it's a great gift, but look what she ends up having to witness these in her gift. She sees these murders and this violence, and yet, you know, this is
on a daily basis.
Right, right. But, you know, the willingness to feel, the artisticness of ourselves is also that person who's willing to go, you know, down and feel the angst and, you know, just want to process, want homeostasis, but sort of has to go through the angst of it all and wait. And it's like, no, I don't want to wait. And it's like, well, you're going to wait, you know? And it's like, but that's, you know, that's something that is an art, and you get, you know, when you're in it, like I said, I could walk into my studio and look at a painting and go, oh, God, that's horrible. And then, you know, maybe like go back three times and add a color, and I'm like, ugh, and leave again and come back, and somehow something shifts it. And all of a sudden I see something more graceful and different, and, you know, all the, and it has a homeostasis. It's like, wow,
right.
Okay.
Right.
You know,
right,
but
on.
But
right,
until
on.
I got there, I was not comfortable. I was not, you know, and so what?
Yeah.
We're not supposed to be. You know, who said it's supposed to be, you know, who says
who
that creation...
Who said we're supposed to be? That's right.
Well, who said that creating something, you know, like, you know, beautiful, said it would be, you know, a really sweet trip? I don't think that's true. I think you got to go through the pain of it, the angst of it, the, you know, I can't stand this of it, or the,
it's certainly,
you know,
been my life, yes.
Well,
if my life is my masterpiece, that is absolutely what life has taught me, you
well,
know, and shown
me. It is the artist's way, but I'm saying, you know, from, you know, I'm not even saying that it's an artisticness. I mean, I think that if people were to allow themselves to be taken by Diabolik, the film, or,
right,
you know, or something to that, you were going to discover a part of yourself, and it may not be that much fun for a while until you, you know, it's like...
Well, until it's anchored in my... Because I got to tell you what I'm getting as you're sharing this, because, I mean, I'm literally processing with you right now on the air.
Right, right.
So one of the things that I kept saying in the first thread with the elephant was I kept pointing out to people, you know, how can you not see this? How can you not see that this is a portrayal of the humiliation and the angst of the elephant? And see, once again, remember the question I keep asking myself is, what is it I'm not seeing?
Right.
See, that's still my question.
About
what is it?
Which part?
Well, meaning, because I'm projecting about this whole soulful experience, like, meaning what I had said, when I told you to write it down last week, you were like, I wasn't seeing my soul in it.
Okay.
But see, I'm doing that again. I'm doing it again where I'm not, because I'm projecting out to these people, can't you see this? And there is nobody out there. It's me. So, again, I'm not seeing something. And, you know,
okay,
I already
got
the answer once this week.
So I get it. And it's remember also what we said about, it's a great question, and the question needs to be asked, and so that's good.
Well, and I need to see it a few. Well, this is, I think, partially because, you know, I don't think we step over a line of awareness. And it'd be one thing, I guess, if we lived in an environment that wasn't programmed to hold us back. I mean, you know, there's so many medias that really program us to not be aware. So I had the awareness early last week of, oh, my soul is in it, and other people's souls are in their experiences, and I need to be conscious of that. And once again, you know, I'm seeing that lesson again, because I know when it's anchored in my cells, pictures of elephants on balls won't trigger me, because my soul will know, you know, but the truth is, it's not anchored in my cells yet to know that my soul is in every choice. I know it intellectually. I don't know it from a physical frequency cellular experience. And so my soul, I guess, you know, is creating triggers for me. I mean, I'm knowing this now because I'm coming into the intellectual awareness right now. That's what I'm speaking of. Because I can honestly, you know, I can still say that that picture still annoys me. So, you know, I'm still triggered by the picture, but at least that, you know, like what I have told you and, you know, I guess the audience enough times, you know, in the weeks of, that have passed by, I like to understand my journey. When I understand it intellectually, it's easier for me to take the leap of faith and jump into an action of trust. That's just me. Truth is, we don't need to understand it on any level to take the act of the leap of faith. That can be taken at any time. Me, I'm a stubborn one. What can I tell you? So, I like to understand it. But because I'm realizing when you said before that they were projecting onto me, it's like, oh, well, truth is, I was projecting onto them too. Mm-hmm. Because I kept going, what, you don't see the elephant in the room? What about, you know, all day I was projecting onto people that they weren't getting the subtle. Ha, 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 the joke's on Goldie. I'm not getting the subtle. That's why I'm seeing it in everybody else.
Do you think you were sad yesterday? Did you find yourself being sad yesterday? Because it's interesting,
yeah.
Like you said,
yeah,
the
I was
silence.
Sad. I was sad.
Yeah.
No, go.
So,
why did you ask that, though?
No, because I was just sensing that yesterday you wanted me, you know, to talk and, you know.
Or Scott.
Because
you,
you love that homeostasis, I get it. And
of
or
course.
Scott. And Jules, possibly? No? Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
right.
Yeah.
But,
she doesn't
but,
really get me to homeostasis, though. She doesn't.
Right. But maybe I just think that maybe there was a noticing of a longing or a sadness, which personally I think, you know, that's your ticket right there. That's the ticket.
Right on.
In.
I agree. I can see that because it was set up that way that, you know, it's funny. You know how they say you can be in a crowded room and feel lonely. You know, you can be in a room full of family and feel lonely. And I felt lonely yesterday.
I get that. And I think that's it, you know. And
I think you're right on. You are in touch with the subtle. That's what I because, see, what you helped me understand what I'm trying to get in touch with. And then for whatever the reason, for me, I stop resisting it when it's like, oh, okay, so just I'll be more conscious of allowing in the silence. Because truth be told, I felt lonely and things got quiet. You know, it was the time to go within, you know.
But
it wasn't a time I was choosing consciously because I had just dreamt that I murdered somebody. There were things to be talked about.
I get it. I do.
I do too, and I appreciate that. I do, because that's where my motivation was. Where if I just had a regular dream, it might have been easier to be quiet.
No. It's so funny because I'm like in that place where I feel that you were sad. And that you were processing, and it was good. But like now, I feel very like in it. I'm like pensive. I'm like, okay, I feel that. But you know, I'm just there with you. It's a funny thing.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, because you are. See, I love it that you play a part even by not being there. You know what I'm saying?
That's
the beauty of it. That's really is the, because I can tell you, Jules in the last 2 days hasn't called me back.
Yeah.
Like she'd be like, I'll call you right back, and we would talk later, and she'd say, I'm really sorry about not calling you back, and I'd be like, you don't have to be sorry, we're good. This isn't about you. I go, if you don't call me back in a month, I'll get it. We're on one of our blackouts. You know, I was like, but you don't have. And I realized though that how really I'm realizing that she was very sensitive to my loneliness, and I was one telling her no, and well, in actuality, she was being quite noticing of the subtle of me because I was feeling lonely and I wasn't even willing to admit it.
Right. And I think also though that this is it, you know, this is like, you know, that vulnerability of the elephant that you felt is the vulnerability of you. But I feel the vulnerability of you. I feel the vulnerability of me and I feel the vulnerability of the elephant, you know, like why not? I do. And it's like, of course. I mean, that vulnerability is very accessible, you know, and and it should be, you know. I mean, that's like, for me,
that's the portal in, right?
Yeah,
that's the portal
is.
With that, how you get inside.
No, it is. It is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when our softness, you know, it's so funny because you were like, sort of like on people today, and yet I can feel your softness and a shift when you said, yeah, I was feeling sad yesterday.
Exactly. Well, because I got in touch with it. Right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and instead of projecting, because what did we say? When we project out the anger, it's the message telling us we're not allowing ourselves to feel the fear, the sadness, or the vulnerability of it.
Right. But see, this is it's like a loss for words, because it's really about, like, it's a feeling right now this feeling is so important, and nothing to, like, I mean, I'm not saying you are, but this is like, it is the ticket in, and it is so valuable to this organic timeline, to knowing yourself, to, not justify, I'm sorry, but justifying the elephant on the ball. I mean, that's why I wrote what I wrote, because I'm going, come on, people, feel your vulnerability till it feels so like, you know, that's the artist, the willingness to go far into your feelings and just risk it all. And, you know, that's the good stuff.
Yeah,
I think
it is
I
the
think.
Good stuff. Well, if you're looking to go within, and, you know, if you want to connect with soul, it's all going, it's happening within. You know,
I mean, it'll show up
as an expression outside, but the true connection is connected within. It is.
Right.
It's an inside
but
job.
That vulnerable place, Goldie, when you said it's the heart, that's it. You're like, you're right in that, like, place, and I can feel it, you can feel it. And it's like golden, you know. It's so amazing to go, to be activated, be right before the radio show, and then processed live. I think it's amazing.
I know.
I think it's great.
Well, you know, listen, I'm open to doing it, I'm grateful to have...
No, it just happened. And
I
love this. I love, you know, I even write down some things from last week, because we're like, okay, yeah, and that'll be like tags to, like, go into those places. But, and that's all great.
Okay.
That's all great, but then, who could have predicted we'd end up here? You know, which is vulnerability, which is, you know, let yourself feel it. Notice you were sad. Notice you were lonely. You know, I mean, who hasn't felt that way in the last 10 minutes?
Janine, that is, I really do believe that with the intensity of the energy coming in, you know, right, it's in us. I think being lonely is, You know, there's it's an archetype that's clearly in us. You know, because most of my life I was lonely. This is something very new that I can actually be alone and not be lonely. You know, and I'll be honest, it's becoming more subtle and finer. You know, I mean, gosh, there was a time, you know. Everybody kind of taking hiatus and not talking to me would have sent me off a deep end. I mean, yesterday, and it was interesting because when I went home to be with Dakini, I see this now that, you know, I was kind of laughing going, my biggest dysfunctional relationship right now is my cat, because she really requires a lot of attention. But I also realize that in my unconsciousness, I will pet her unconsciously for hours. I mean, literally, just like, my hand just doesn't stop. It just continuously pets her And then, of course, when I do stop, she's like, hey, you know, she'll come, you know, do more. And so I was kind of, you know, I went home to be with her, but what I did was I turned on the TV and started watching some of the most unconscious TV I could find.
Mm.
I mean, I'm good. I was almost not going to tell you because I'm a little embarrassed by what I watched, but I got to share because you guys will all appreciate it. So I watched a marathon of The Next Top Model. I mean,
well, what's so bad about that? I mean,
oh my! Well, because these are very young girls who are incredible. I mean, at one point it was like they were annoying me. They were just so they were insecure and catty, and you know what they worried about, and I wasn't seeing the soul in any of you know. I was just, and I wasn't seeing my cat, and I was look because I called Scott and I was like, I miss you. There are times when I go home and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm home. I connect with my cat and I connect with my plants and I feel just absolutely amazing to be there. And
yeah,
and I'm good. You know, yesterday I just was out of alignment with
yeah.
so much, you know, because part of me was like, because me and Scott were supposed to go to his mom's house. We didn't even go to his mom's house for Mother's Day because, I mean, he was exhausted and, you know, so I couldn't find my place
and not finding my,
you know, it felt, you know, if I was off. I mean, I was off. Yeah, on tilt. And I definitely think that the energy has something to do with that. And I also believe that that's not a bad space, as you've been, you know, really so eloquently sharing this whole show, is because you can move through off back into alignment very organically.
Yeah.
Just don't get in your own way. Don't, you know, because inevitably what I didn't process yesterday because I was watching the TV and I wasn't really allowing myself to connect with the plants or my cat, well, inevitably I had to process today through Facebook. You know, we're going to process it. You know, we're going to move through it one way or the other. You know, it's just I tend to involve other people when I'm doing it on Facebook. And, you know, I might not necessarily need to do that. And that's kind of sharing that with everybody. If we just allow ourselves to feel the feeling when it first comes up, we don't really need more players to continue to, you know, pour salt on the wound. You know?
Yeah. I'm like, who won the Next Top Model?
Well, and here's the worst part, right? There was a marathon. They took me down to the last six contestants and didn't even finish it. I couldn't believe that. I don't know if it was the quiet autistic one.
Right.
Or if it was the bitch, you know, who could take good things. You know, that's so funny because I'm going to have to follow it on. I don't know when this. It was. I don't know who won. They didn't take me all. You know, see, there was nothing. Nothing was fulfilling me yesterday. Nothing.
I don't know. You know, that's a bit of like a okay. Let me.
Well, on a conscious level. On a conscious level.
Well, also sometimes you know that's like let me just check out a little bit. Like check out meaning, you know, let me just sit here and watch.
Yeah, not process.
Right, and
right.
I think that.
Right.
I mean, I find that to be really necessary sometimes. You know where. You know, I might watch Project Runway or Rachel Zoe or, you know, just like, you know, you just, it's great.
I know those shows.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, you look back and then, you know, I think the being off from loneliness is such a great invitation to, oh, what is that? You know, what is that? You know, and I, you know, that's a big one. That's a really big one for all of us, you know, when we feel off and we feel lonely and we're feeling, you know, where do I fit in or do I or I don't know or, you know, and it's like, I don't know. I think those places are important, you know.
Well, they're clear, yeah, because they're part of the journey. That there's no, I think we can run, but we can't hide from ultimately
yeah,
ourselves.
And you don't want to leave any stone unturned, and that's there's a
no,
lot of those lonely
no.
stones, you know. I think
right on.
Right
on.
Really are.
That's
and I
true.
Think that, you know, I think a lot of people on Facebook really are a lot of lonely stones, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, come on. It's like, hey, you know, anyone out there? You know, it's kind of like, hey, anyone out there?
I literally was like, who can I call? I was going to get on Facebook and start looking for cell phone numbers.
<That's> so-
I'm a serial real Facebooker. And I was like, no, no, no. And inevitably, I was like, I called Scott, and, you know, we didn't talk once I got here, but I was just glad to be here. And, you know, because, it was an interesting day.
Right, and that discomfort at the time is really unpleasant, but, like, you inevitably arrive somewhere else, and that's, like, that's the part that's amazing. And, you know, that vulnerable place, like, I love this book called Presence, and I have to say, I've read it 5 times, and it's by these 5 people that all contribute experience, and it's about profound change in people, in collectives, in society. It's just, and what's so amazing is, and I spoke about this once before, but when people that look at profound change and are, you know, want to look at it from an interesting point of view or from a beautiful mind point of view, like when they're, you know, they're looking for what is that shifts something. Okay,
right.
Well, what it is that shifts something, whether it's in an individual or a collective, like let's say that there's a collective and they're stuck and it just can't seem to move. Well, what inevitably shifts the collective, they noticed, and this is spontaneous and observed, but it's never, you know, contrived or manipulated, that it's when somebody in the group shows a vulnerability, the entire group shifts. And I believe that when an individual arrives at their own vulnerability, they shift, because it's an extraordinary place. And I, you know, there's a, speaking of Facebook, I have this thing that I've had on there by this, I believe he's a poet named Theodore Rottke. And he wrote, "Those who are willing to be vulnerable move among mysteries." And I do think that when we're speaking of, like, this realm of amazing and mystery, it's when we are vulnerable. It's when to me, in that movie Starman, that I love so much, that the guy who's supposed to pursue him and capture him can't do it. And he just can't. And the star man looks at him, because he needs to leave because he's not getting well here. He has to go. And this guy's supposed to capture him, and he can't. He's like helping him now get back to his place to go back to where his environment is good for him. And the star man looks at him and he goes, you know what is so great about you people? You are at your best when you are at your worst. And it's true. We're our strongest place is when we're most vulnerable. What is when we're in our vulnerability, and it's like it is. You can feel the shift. I mean, every time you are vulnerable with me, it's like the most beautiful. You know, it is. It's beautiful.
Right on.
And you feel it. You know.
Yeah.
You know, that would go for. You know, and I know that a reflection back is really helpful. Like, you know, we can get into our vulnerableness and just recognize it ourselves. But I think that when someone else reflects it back to you, it's like, oh, there it is. There it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite poignant. I mean, it really is. It's effective, you know, and I know because I've had those moments with you. And that's when I've had, you know, I've had aha moments by myself, but there is something about having an aha moment with somebody because, I mean, see, that's ultimately building up the ability to say I can be vulnerable and the world won't slam me, you know, because you have to have those experiences, right? I mean, because for many eons, our vulnerability could have had us, you know, strapped up on a cross or thrown to the wood, you know, thrown into the fire. You know, it hasn't always been there that vulnerability showed up as strength. You know, it's often shown up as the end of the line.
Well, it makes the most beautiful songs, poetry, sculpture, art, you know. I mean, the vulnerable is, you know, always takes someone down. I mean, it always disarms people. It disarms me. I mean, I remember.
That's a good word, a good phrase.
Right? Disarms
us. Yeah. Yeah.
Drop your weapons.
Yeah, well, right, and you know, that's a trust issue, because for me, the challenge is, you know, and it's so funny, because vulnerability has, you know, since in my awakening, protected me far greater than my fists ever did, because my fists were getting my ass kicked on a daily basis. You know, like, in other words,
yeah.
my defenses really never protected me. They were really what got me in a lot of hot water, you know. So it's just... Because I see, I can be vulnerable around animals. I can be vulnerable around nature. It is the last hurdle for me to be vulnerable around people.
Mm.
That is, you know, I guess the stones that I'm turning over. That's, you know, that's what I'm. I it doesn't surprise me that, you know, this is showing up because, you know, I just know myself, so it makes sense that, oh, okay, we're at this point in the journey where, you know, and of course, you know, the beauty is I have you in my life, and you know, because inevitably, you know, I would like to also be the reflection, you know, for the people on Facebook that they can be vulnerable, and, you know, I'm not going to pounce them, because I tend to do exactly what I tell, you know, I'm afraid to have done to me, I do it, which is what, you know, all of us do, quote unquote, in the defensive, you know, when we're in our defensive state, you know, push people away so you don't get hurt, you know, and ultimately hurting the people you're pushing away.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's a...
Well, we could still stick up for elephants, you know.
No, and of course we want that, but becoming a taskmaster myself doesn't necessarily make what I believe better, righter, or, you know, more positive. It really just shows you, okay, hey, I'm human. I have said it from the jump street. I'm human, and you know, I'm just here to explore my experiences. I just happen to do it on the air.
Yeah. Well, I told you it was for everybody. You wanted to argue with me about that, but I told you.
You did. I love it. It's exactly right. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, right on. See, and
wait,
another interesting thing. Go ahead.
How about this? Am I right or am I right?
You're so right, Guido. I got you right here there, Janine. I got you right here. And I'll leave it to your imagination where my hand was.
Oh, that's good.
And, you know, because I must say, though, I mean, I am fascinated because, see, when I get on the skin, so to speak, or the cells, or the frequency, that would probably be, when I get on the frequency to argue, God, you know, it's a perspective changer. You know, in other words, everything looks argumentative to me.
What would be something that came out of this would be when I'm in the mood, this would be like your voice, when I'm in the mood to argue and I'm feeling this way, it's because there's a vulnerability underneath that. You know, where,
yeah, right,
and by the way, that is what I'm saying. That is really a game changer for everybody. You know, when you move into this vulnerable place, this vulnerability, I mean, it is synonymous for truth. And that is just a game changer for you, for the environment, for the collective. And, you know, it is what a lot of beautiful sentient animals teach us. They have a beautiful vulnerability. They do.
Yeah.
And so, there's an innocence to it as well. And I mean, that's, the irony is we go through life and we're so kind of defended and fixed. And then, you know, really what comes out of it is this new version of innocence and vulnerability. But to get there, you know, it's not easy and it's uncomfortable. And that's why, honestly, that when I wrote what I wrote under the elephant, it was like, are you willing to feel the depth of your feelings? Because you will arrive at vulnerability. But I think there's a lot of protected people, you know, so that's what I was saying.
I believe I'm one of them.
Right. Well,
I would have
to
agree with that.
Right, and when I'm off and when the loneliness thing is clicked in for me or whatever, like that little bit of like, gee, what's that I'm feeling? You know, I guarantee you, right there is this vulnerability. It's like, and,
yeah.
and you know, I think it would be great for anybody to encourage themselves, don't run away from it. Don't run away from it, you know?
Hey, remember when you said to me the other day that there was a an initiation art piece coming up?
Mm-hmm.
Vulnerability. That
yes.
would be the initiation art piece.
Yes, and what a beautiful, you know, that's a first, like, for me to hear that an initiation art piece would be for vulnerability. I mean, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
and
no,
yes.
that just clicked in. It's like, you know, because the key for me is that it's going to happen anyways, but the more I can just know that vulnerability really is the space of my soul, then the less I'll defend my way out of it.
You know, there's no need to defend
my way out of it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, and there's, it is, you know, the word disarming, vulnerability disarms it. You
right.
know, it's the red, that's the red flag when we feel, you know, like in a defended mode or, you know, yeah, it's like, okay, with something there,
yeah.
a vulnerability of my own. And, I just think that's a big one. It's a big awareness.
Yeah, and I agree.
And it's
powerful. I mean, the potential is powerful because, you know, it's kind of interesting because to be completely 100% physically connected to vulnerability almost feels like your cells, it's like the tone of our beingness would be our soul song. You know, like it would be just radiating. There's no effort to it. You know, 100% vulnerability would be equivalent to 100% of the physical being soul embodied by soul. That's
yeah.
what I'm sensing.
Yeah. And,
you know, and who knows what kind of magic, you know, that would kind of create.
No, that's what I'm saying. That in this book that I've read many times, it's, you know, one of my favorite sort of revisiting books because
it reminds me of
the powerful change, you know, it's just a changing thing, a game changer in when someone goes into their vulnerability and shows others, and you know, everybody's just drops their defenses, you know, and it's kind of the turnaround, you know, and definitely the ceiling gets lifted with that one.
Yeah, no, right on, right, because it is. You know, it is just so, well, it's just, it's undefining / defining of the soul. That it's embracing the mystery. It's embracing the spontaneity and, you know, it's
yeah.
embracing the trust. And you know, and I believe it's embracing the subtlety, the power of the subtlety, which in the frequency we live in now can be embraced, you know. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, when they were burning witches at the stake, I don't think vulnerability had the same power in the sense in the physical realm,
right,
that it does today. That, you know, I mean, today they've got to run these pharmaceutical commercials, you know, damn near,
well,
you know, three times
such a powerful
every
point.
Yeah,
Goldie, that's such a powerful point because. Really, the game changer of reaching your vulnerability and to get there is uncomfortable, and a lot, and you know, so many people are medicating it away, and you know, and it's and it, it is that is so true. And what'll be really interesting for you is that if you notice these feelings again, like yesterday, where you know it's almost like a reference point where
you notice an
offness or a lonely, this, it's such a, you will process so much quicker. You will go into your vulnerability like, oh, there it is. It's like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it really is, that awareness is like almost like company. Like you lose your loneliness because your vulnerability shows up and you're like, hey, I don't feel lonely anymore. And it's like, yeah. You don't, because your vulnerability is your presence. It's like there it is.
Exactly.
So, yeah, this is
right
a really
on,
cool.
Right
it
on.
Really is cool because I know this one very well.
You're right. And I know you do. I know you do, too. I do. I mean.
Oh, I do.
I really, because I guess it was just the other day, right, when I said, you know, boy, Janine spends a lot of time alone. You know, and I it was just so, it was
yeah,
almost significant to me. No, and I, but
yeah,
you're not.
But your vulnerability,
yeah, you are,
my vulnerability, you know, it's the, I don't know, it's that sacred place. It's that.
Well, it's
you
your
know,
presence. It is exactly
it
what
is.
You just said. See, now, you can, it's like, vulnerability almost reminds me of like the word God. In
yeah.
that, boy, have we been steered wrong about
yeah.
that word. You know, because nobody's teaching us vulnerability as presence. They're all teaching us vulnerability is going to get you killed. Vulnerability is going to get your ass kicked. You know, vulnerability is not where you want to be. And, of course, you know, turn the world upside down and then you'll see straight. Where, you know, the truth is vulnerability literally is the presence because the presence doesn't need structure to know it exists.
Well, that's one of the great mysteries,
exists.
I believe. You know, that yes, I just read that to you, but those who are willing to be vulnerable move among mysteries. But I really do believe that's true, that's one of those. You know, I love when we talk and we start, I go, oh, Goldie, let's pretend, we're alchemists and we're talking about the alchemy of something. And the vulnerability is really, truly the entrance to the great mystery or your godliness or whatever you want to call it, you know, and
yeah.
I do believe
yeah.
that you've entered that place. And that's why it's probably not that easy to arrive because, you know, we were talking about this last week where we personally, as people, assign these gatekeepers to our vulnerability.
Yeah.
But, you know, yes, have we been conditioned not to allow that? Yes, but, you know, it's that flip in terms where in our vulnerability we are our strongest. And like if anyone, it's such a great movie to watch, Starman, and it's really beautiful and sweet, but it's worth waiting for that one line. I love that line, you know.
Yeah, it's funny because I have that queued up in my Netflix.
Uh-huh.
I think
yeah.
it's time to watch that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just because he says to the guy who is such a cool actor, he goes, do you want to know what I see and what is great about you as a people? And he's like, what? He goes, when you're at your worst, you're at your best. And it was because the man who was letting him go was he was vulnerable. He was like, he had let everything down. He wasn't going to, you know, try to call the police and get this guy. And it was
right.
just so beautiful.
The fight was the fight was over and he got it. You know, the energy had played its course. And
yeah. Yeah.
You know, because that really is what it is. I mean, that's almost the archetype of the internal stuff that, you know, we fight until literally we just wake up and, okay, I'm exhausted.
Yes. And the fight
I just,
is out
I'm
of us.
And then the fight is just, it's complete. Because that is, I know forgiveness comes to me in that way. Now at this point, I don't have forgiveness issues anymore because I don't even hold on to it. It's like, okay. But, I mean, there was a time when, you know, forgiveness came hard for me. And, you know, I went 4 years obsessing over revenge, which is, you know, the polar opposite of forgiveness. And because that had to run its course. That was in me. I mean, granted, I was young, so I had that kind of that kind of energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when it was done, it was like, literally, I was just like, I realized that my forgiveness was really a matter of, I'm exhausted hating this person. I just can't do it anymore. And I didn't hate her. I was like, I don't even care what happens to her anymore. And that was quite the, you know, for 4 years, I lived, breathed, slept, ate revenge for this
yeah.
woman. So, yes, I totally, you know, I agree that, you know, and I've experienced that and, you know, But I would like, I think, you know, at some point when we want it, we have this, it's a milestone. Like, tonight's processing is a milestone for me because I would like to, like you said, immediately know that when vulnerability happens, okay, So in order to make this cellular, I have to know intellectually, don't defend. Because remember a few weeks back when I told you, Scott said to me, are you looking for an argument? And I was like, yes, I am. And then I went, go to the woods, Goldie.
Time out.
And because, see, I know it with him, but I got to know it in every area. I didn't know it in loneliness, because I'll be honest with you, I have not felt lonely. I have been doing so much processing on my relationship with Scott that I really didn't, because, I mean, when it was just loneliness, I really did become defensive again, and it's like, no, it's the same thing. Anytime I'm looking for an argument, Goldie, go to the woods, or go, you know, I told Jules' daughter, Lily, I go, listen, if it's raining out, put a garbage bag over you and go sit outside. It don't matter, in other words, you know, because she was like, I'm looking to be balanced. It's like, okay, if you're looking to be balanced, funny how that was there today, too. I was like, nature. Just keep going outside. I go, you can do whatever activations or courses or whatever else you want to do, just do it in tandem with being outside on a daily basis. And I need to take my own, you know, take my own advice, because it really is. It's funny. I have not felt lonely in a while. And I get it, because remember I said to you, and this is just coming to me, the whole idea of marrying Scott, you know, spiritually marrying him, I have not felt lonely. I really haven't. And God knows, lonely has been a part of my journey, but it has not been part of my recent journey.
Mm.
But you know, the stones that are getting turned up are, you know, I'm deep in the rabbit hole. These were planted, you know, shit, years ago and or lifetimes ago. And, you know, that's, I love it, because I really, it's like, it's just, you know, it's the alignment that I'm getting and the awareness, it's like, wow, that it just, you know, it makes sense to me, it feels right, I'm excited, because I'm already thinking to myself, you know, if I was to do a vulnerable piece of initiation art, it's so funny, because I'm like, it would have to be hard and soft, you know, it's like, you know, and I totally have the Vesica Pisces in my head, you know, with the two coming together, it's the hardness of protection and the softness of vulnerability, you know, equating to the alchemy of my soul being experienced, you know, in this dimension. And, you know, I don't even know what I'm going to do. I just, yeah, it's already, you know.
It's good.
It's just like that night we
so
did initiate Infinite Trust. I mean, really.
It's just how it shows up so organically in the process that, I mean, you know, we talked about initiation art piece, but it was just like, I don't know. And, in you know, it was just, and then, you know, you're moving along and, you know, all the different processes that have come up just, you know, in the last 3 weeks. And, you know, then you arrive and it's so, you know, I love how for one night you listen to a song for 40 times, and you know that meant something to me. And then, because when I heard it, I was affected by it. And then I love that you somehow watched this movie that was done in 1955, which is the year I was born. And you know, and it,
I didn't know that.
And well, I just saw it on Turner Classic. That, you know, I looked it up, and but that was, you know, in that movie. I mean, I always think that these things trigger, you know. The
let me interrupt one sec. Listen, we're going to keep talking about this because I'm not done yet. I just want to let everybody know, you got to call in if you want to hear it live. If not, you can catch it in the archives. But we're going to keep going, and the number is 646-929-2084. You got to call in within the next minute, otherwise you'll be locked out. So I just want everybody to know that. Okay, go ahead, babe.
Yeah. So if you know, you look back and then you end up saying, you know, here it is, initiation art vulnerability. And, you know, that's an anchoring process.
I always say that
the process has already occurred, but this is an anchoring and like a consecrating and a confirmation, and you know, and so it you know, it's and I love that a French film named Diabolik was part of your process. I just think that
I know,
that's
right?
So neat.
I had to dream about a murder, which, by the way, you know, and here's another thing. See, I don't think I give Jules enough credit. Jules goes, what if it's a part of, because what you guys didn't hear was that the following day, so I had this dream Saturday night to Sunday. Sunday night to this morning, I had a dream that, I had a dream that I was like the medium. Had a dream that I had witnessed a murder, somebody else doing this murder. And in the witnessing of somebody else doing the murder, my whole dream state started becoming about, okay, the gentleman that I saw murder somebody in my dream, he knew that I could see him doing this. And he was trying to change my cell phone into like this, I don't know, some sort of device, I guess some kind of alien device that would harm me. And I was like, no, I'm not going to change my cell phone. But I was sensing fear around, okay, now I'm seeing other people murdering and I have the ability to, you know, like I was thinking about the medium going, wow, you know, she goes to the DA and, you know, she essentially gets these murderers put behind bars and, you know, is she afraid of that at all? You know, because, shucks, you know, my experience with the cops have always, like I told you today, when I was a dealer, if the cops ever arrested me, you know, I kind of was like, listen, you're doing your job. I'm breaking the law. You have every reason to arrest me. And, you know, so I think I'll walk a very, you know, thin line of, I know I'm breaking the law. Maybe I'll just make it so you don't want to arrest me. That's so I never flaunted, you know, any kind of money or any, you know, I was just, you know, I drove a Toyota Tercel when I was making $2,500 a week. That, you know, I wasn't driving a Beamer. I didn't have bling on. I really just looked like your basic, you know, middle class girl. But when I'm thinking in the dream state, when I was the medium now, you know, another state of kind of, you know, an awareness of murder from another perspective, I was, you know, still frightened by the fact of, like, whoa, she is, you know, she's putting people away. This is what I got when I woke up. It's like, isn't she afraid somebody's going to come find her and, you know, want to kill her for putting, you know, for putting her away? And it's like, it just, you know, she seems to just know, listen, she has a gift. And it almost seems like this unspoken understanding between her, the dead people whom she can talk to and see, and life itself, that, you know, she can drink to turn her gift off, but ultimately, you know, this is what she has to do. You know, she dreams about people doing these crimes, and then she connected with a DA. And I was asking myself, would I be able to connect with a DA? You know, would I be able to tell people, you know, tell the police about people who have committed murders because I've had dreams about them? And I'll be honest with you, I in no way, shape, or form know if I could do that. You know, mm-hmm. I have fear in me around that. I do. I still can sense in myself just right now that I have fear around other people still being able to hurt me. I mean, physically hurt me, which is, you know, it kind of makes sense in the sense of, you know, I went numb for a very long time and got my ass kicked a lot during those days. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's like,
well, don't be surprised that a lot of this
if this comes up, right?
The true vulnerability issues, which, you know, are really good to come up, you know.
Right on.
I think, you know, and I also find that the willingness, well, her gift of being a medium, and it comes with, a price, meaning.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. That, and I think that just being on, you know, the path of awareness comes with a price in that you're asking yourself, I mean, from my point of view, if you're on the path of awareness, you're asking yourself to take risks and, you know, open to your vulnerability. And that, to me, it's so important. And, you know, that's why I think the value of tonight's show is so great, because, I mean, I couldn't have predicted to talk about this, and you couldn't have either, and yet all the pieces fall together.
I know.
And